Welcome to Dance to Heal, Transformation Through Movement, with your host, Jenny C. Cohen. Join Jenny as she shares stories of how dance and movement can bring healing in a way that is safe and tailored to your life. She's a cancer survivor, mother of two, and an award-winning performer who found that movement was vital to her recovery. Creator of Dance to Heal Wellness, Jenny will bring new techniques to help you on your dance journey and healing path. Are you ready to move? Dance to Heal, Transformation Through Movement starts now.
Hello, hello, welcome, welcome. Episode 5. 5? How did the time go by so fast? Anyways, today's topic is talking about how wonderful dance is, but also you get to meet Boba Kitty. No, really. The topic is about talking about how even though dance is wondrous and wonderful, there are times when the aesthetic achievement can, Boba agrees, when the aesthetic achievement of it can veer more towards harmful and hurtful, because sometimes when we train to a certain level, we actually have to stop listening to our bodies in order to achieve these man-made perceptions of perfection. Yep. When my kids were very young, they explored all kinds of elite sports. They did baton twirling, which did you know? I'm sure you did not know that it is an elite sport. They train for many, many years, and there are college scholarships offered. And when my kids were homeschooled, I had this grand scheme of having them be twins, getting double scholarships in college. And then I decided to enroll them in rhythmic gymnastics, which has all the training of the lines with apparatus work to improve their baton twirling. And my kids ended up falling in love with rhythmic gymnastics, giving up baton twirling, and wanting to do the Olympics. We had a coach that planted these seeds. You can do the Olympics. I don't know where we were going to get the money from to fund their Olympic dreams. Plus the fact that a lot of the coaches in the field here in the States, and also the judges who were mostly from Europe, saw in my children that they were latecomers, late bloomers. Also, the completely wrong proportions. And they were told to their face, my kids were 6 and 7. They were told they were too old, the wrong body type. And can you believe it? They were told they were overweight. They were 6. Anywho, but they fell in love with the sport. So they tried very, very hard. They even went to Lake Placid Olympic Training Center. They qualified for Future Stars. It was all out of pocket. We were lucky. We were homeschooling. So they were able to balance that extra training they needed to catch up. I don't even know what that means, but they were told they had to catch up. Here's the thing. At a very young age, my children and other elite athletes are taught you must ignore your body's pain, trust in an outer source like a coach who says you're not working hard enough, and keep going. I think they're changing that philosophy now, but in the past, that's what happens. And I wanted to address this in this particular episode because sometimes you may want to do something and you get so passionate about it, and it may be movement oriented. It's very important you still acknowledge all of the messages that your body is giving you. Please, let's not wait until your body's screaming before you hear it. Our bodies are always giving us feedback, whispering to us, hey, that feels really good. Please stop, start, keep doing that. I have to ignore my body saying it wants more carbs. It whispers that a lot to me, especially after menopause from chemotherapy. But a lot of times, sometimes I do indulge it because I'm a cancer survivor. I get to eat my carbs. It makes me happy. However, sometimes when I'm doing a lot of dance classes, I have to pay attention when my body says, it's enough. You need to stop. I've given you everything you wanted. Now you need to rest, hydrate, please, and get sleep, ice, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. I was in a car accident in April. We were rear-ended by someone who had a lot of liquor, and he was driving a motorcycle, and he rear-ended my car while we were standing still. I was in the passenger seat, and because I already had arthritis in my back and neck, it completely threw me out of whack. And I haven't really been able to do a lot of hardcore working out. I've had to listen to my body very, very much, because in the past, I would push through the pain. And I was told by my doctors, you can't do that. You cannot do that because it will make it worse. I even have a very good friend named Brandy, who she is a woman owned, a Black woman owned company called Diva Dreads. And she said to me, don't you dare ignore what the doctors say, because she's dealing with health issues from car accident years ago that was never addressed by her medical insurance. So anyways, but I'm better now. And slowly getting stronger and training more. And still I have to listen to my back and my neck. This morning, I taught two classes. And as I sit here having a conversation with you and about to introduce my special guest today, I'm icing my lower back and being very, very careful to say to myself, all right, Jenny, you know, as you go into demonstration with your special guest, you need to calm down. Let him do most of the movement. You have done enough for today. You've taught two full classes, and now you need to allow him to demonstrate. So speaking of him, this special guest is someone that, of course, I know personally, and I really want the world to meet. He has a special story, but he also comes from this world that I was sharing with you before, these elite athletes that started training at a young age and had to learn to ignore when they didn't want to do it. I mean, like, literally, I can tell you as a mom, and also I coached at one point the team. Oh, it's almost border on like abuse now, but back then, you know, they would be in the summer running the parks with weights on their ankles. Please don't do that now. It's not good for you. Your body doesn't feel it or recovers now. You will feel the effects of it later. Our bodies are built to give us whatever we want, and it will ignore itself to the point of hurting itself. Okay. Anyway, so back to introduction of my special guest. Before I say anything about it, I'm going to ask our wondrous Jacob to play a video of Daniel Ray Cohen's dancing. I know Boba loved it too. It's not just because I'm his mom, but literally he does make me cry when I watch him perform. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my special guest, Daniel Ray Cohen. Daniel is a ballet student at the University of Utah. He's transgender, biracial, and he lives with an incurable, invisible disability. He strives to create a more inclusive world through his art and journey in dance. And he is forever grateful for the privilege to dance every day and have a family that supports him along the way. You're welcome, son. Please welcome Daniel Cohen. Hey, Dan.
Hi.
Danny. I never called him Danny before. Daniel. Danny.
Hello, Mom.
Oh, Danielle. So listen, if you could explain to our wonderful audience that's tuning in, could you explain to them, why do you like to dance? I mean, like, really, what is it about? Because let's be clear, right? Daniel insisted on going right into ballet.
Yeah. Yeah, as soon as I recovered from surgery, I was like, I'm going to do ballet now. There's just, dance is, when done in a present manner, it can be very healing, and it's a way to connect with your body. And it's just, when I'm dancing and really dancing for me because I love dancing and not doing it for anyone else, it's just, it's empowering. It's like the closest I get to feeling free of all the things I have to deal with. Well, they're still with me, but it's very much like acknowledging that and acknowledging myself and my identity and like the other energies in the room. But it's just a very, when present, it's an amazing experience, and I want to be able to do that in all of my dancing, which I'm working towards currently.
Yes, yes. And if you don't mind sharing, if you could tell people kind of physically what you struggle with to make everything look so easy, but kind of behind, like, the given that you see behind the scenes of what you deal with.
Oh, you mean like all my type one stuff?
That, and also physically, you know, because I mean, audience, we have to bring Danny to Cairo and other things. Oh. That I don't, you know, I want to leave him up to Danny to share with you.
Yeah, so I have, because I did train in rhythmic gymnastics, did all this crazy stuff when I was younger, I have a lot of old injuries that will get inflamed in the training I'm pursuing currently, like both of my knees. I have tendonitis in my patella tendon, and mostly my right knee, but my left knee a little bit as well from overstretching it when I was younger. The same thing, one of my hips is overstretched, and my ribs are a little bit unstable from doing crazy contortion stuff. So it's very hard from day to day because I want to train all the time and go really hard. But if I do, then my injuries will be inflamed. And if I keep pushing it, then I'll have to take more days off or I won't be able to dance because it's very painful. And the other thing that's very interesting is, emotionally, if I'm not in a good place, my injuries will act up as well. So it's very much a physical and emotional balance of listening when I need to stop or I need to take a break. Because most of the time, if I do, I'm like, oh, my knees are kind of hurting today, I'm just going to do bar, or I'm just going to take it easy and really make sure I'm not gripping anything, then the next day I'm perfectly fine. But if I don't listen to myself, then I'm out for a week, or I could be out for a week because I just keep trying to push. And then I have a pretty hard wall with my type 1 diabetes, which is a 24/7 management that I always have to be on top of. And there's only so much I can do before my levels are unstable, and then I really can't do anything. I have to sit out. And that's just, it's devastating for me, but it's also very important because I want to enjoy every time I dance. And if I'm in pain or if my levels aren't good, I really won't enjoy it. But it's just really acknowledging the emotions as they come up. And then even putting that into my dancing and being like, okay, I don't really feel well right now, but I can still do these moves, and the dancing kind of being present and putting that into the movement adds to it. Because it's not me faking, pretending I'm okay when I'm dancing.
I love those words. I come from the old school, fake it till you make it. And yes, that applies if you've already rested and strengthened safely and prepared properly. I love that Danny is advocating not faking that you're okay when you're really not okay. Don't push through when your body's oftentimes speaking loudly to you. You know, you love Donna Mejia. Donna Mejia is a professor, and I think she is now in charge of the graduate program at CU Boulder. And she was one of the first people I met in 2008 or 9 who really was the first person to explain to us about the relationship between your body and you. That your body is a sentient being, and it literally will harm itself giving you what you want. And so it's important when it whispers and says, hey, I can't give you what you want, not to push beyond that.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Because right. It's really, and through the training, as you said before, Mom, you disconnect a lot of the natural algorithms that your body is telling you. And I mean, this is something my mom told me when I was training, and things I hear from the really good professors at the university, but they always tell me in class, trust your body. It knows what to do. Just listen to it, because it will give you the things you need. And even if it doesn't, it might take a little bit of time, but it will go really fast. My mom always tells me fast is slow and slow is fast. And it's true. Just like take it moment by moment. If there's a goal that you're trying to achieve or anything else, it's very much just staying present and just giving your body time to learn it and feel safe. Because there's also being uncomfortable isn't a bad thing as long as it's a safe uncomfortableness. If it's an unsafe uncomfortableness, then it's just leaning more towards ignoring your body telling you it's not safe to do this at this moment. Versus saying, you know, it's kind of uncomfortable and weird, this new movement. It feels a little bit awkward, but we can build strength and it's safe to try. That's another thing I've injured myself in the past when I'm like, you know, I don't feel safe right now, but I really need to just hit this skill and I go for it. And then something goes crazy because I didn't listen to my body. And then the other thing with me that I struggle with is because I'm trans and training in more of a binary art form, it's getting better. It's getting much better in terms of breaking the binary, but I'm always wondering, what if I'm not looking like the other men? Like, I don't look correct. Like, my proportions aren't correct. My technique's not correct. I can't hit as many turns. And I focus on all of these technicalities when everybody looks different in the room. And this is a theme throughout dance and through life, but you don't want to compare yourself to anybody else. Even though a lot of times culturally in dance, it's very much like, oh, we all want to look like this perfection, but it's really, you can be inspired by other people, but translate it onto your own body. And it might not work on your own body because everybody's body is different. And there's also in terms of like just your ability level or the type of body you were born with, whatever it looks like emotionally transferring into your body and physically, it could be completely different. So it's just really important to find it in yourself, and it always looks great. But yeah.
Yeah, Boba is emphatically agreeing with Danny by slamming everything to the floor in my space right now. So what we're gonna do, audience, is talking is not the same as doing and demonstrating. There's a bar behind Danny right now. We're gonna talk about, you know, I love ballet. It just hurts my body. It really does. I mean, I really work on turnout. I've taught it many times. How do we still incorporate the strengthening, the lines aspect of something like ballet in a safe manner? Because not very rare do people really have that 180 degree turnout in their hips. We just don't. It's not normal. And what happens is when we force it, you're twerking your knees, you're twerking and injuring parts of your ankles. And so we're going to... what we're going to do is, while I'm continuing to talk about this, Danny starts setting up the studio real quick. And then once he's got the studio set up and ready, he's going to start talking to you about proper alignment while I run down the stairs to join him in the downstairs studio. You ready, Danny?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, so the first thing about alignment and what a lot of people will see in ballet is just very like upright pose of like regal royalty and stuff like that, but it's very much for me, and what I found is it's connected to being present and taking your space in the room and just feeling like you're worthy in this space. And this is something that comes from Delsart technique, which I've taken a couple classes on. But what you want to do is you want to relax the back of your neck, maybe gently stretch your head forward. I'll turn to the side. Just so you feel a really gentle relaxation. Don't hang on your head, but just feel the muscles lengthening in the back of your neck. And then turn your head a little bit to the right and lengthen the left side of your neck. Just let it relax. And you can also massage it out a little bit. And then you want to turn your head to the other side and do the same thing. Maybe massage out just the muscles. I hold a lot of stress in my shoulder area. But you just want to lengthen the back, and then when you stand up straight, you want to feel that the back of your neck has this great energy that's in the back of your head and kind of extending towards the sky. You don't want to torque your neck. You just want it to be very upright on in alignment with your shoulders, and you want to feel length in the very back, the two muscles that go along here. Well, there's many muscles that go along here. And if you look at yourself in the mirror or just look at someone else and they activate this energy, you'll see that they're lifted up and your attention goes to them because they're really allowing their body to take up the space and be worthy or feeling worthy of the space, which is something I struggle with in class. Sometimes I melt into myself a little bit, but you really want to just give yourself permission to be in the space. And that's another thing that helps keep yourself present. And then the next thing you probably see is turnout. But before you even go into any turnout, you want to establish it with your feet in parallel. What's really important is that your knees always stay over your second toe and third toes. You don't want them to go too, you don't want them to bow, and you don't want them to go too much out to the side. You want them to stay in alignment under your hips, wherever your hips are. You want to make sure your toes are spread out on the ground. And what you're going to do is activate the muscle, like feel your muscles lengthening from below your legs and almost wrapping in this direction, like it's spiraling up to the sky is the imagery you want to think of. So these muscles are wrapping around and spiraling towards the sky, and so are these muscles. Your adductors are spiraling this way, but you don't want to grip. You don't want to grip your muscles because that will just cause tension to your ligaments and stress on your tendons and all that stuff. So you really want to think of lengthening. And then in your hips, you want them to be square, and you want to think of that lengthening towards your ribs, but you want to relax your shoulders, so you don't want to keep going too high and then ascend into the sky. You want to relax up here, and you can shake your arms out and just feel yourself lengthening and the activation of your muscles in here. And then you'll see that the alignment, because if I relax, it's like this, but if I lengthen and pull up, then there's strength and stability. So then when you turn out, and it's okay no matter what degree you have, you might want to close your eyes and just put one leg in turn out and then put the other leg in turn out.
Okay.
And then you want to look down and make sure, like, so my turnout isn't actually that much, but you can build more when you get to, and you just really always want to make sure your knees are over your toes, and you're going to find the same activation. You can think of the inside muscles of your legs squeezing together and pulling up towards the sky. It's always lengthening. But you want to try to relax and not grip your muscles at the same time. So now that you're feeling that activation, I'll turn to the side. We're going to just do one demi-plie. So it goes halfway down, not halfway down, just as much as you can bend your knees without any pain. You want to think of your knees just going to the side and your head is going to the ceiling, and then your shoulders are relaxing. And the one thing, another thing that's very important is your pelvis alignment. You don't want to tuck and try to make your butt disappear. It's very important. It needs to be there. And you don't want to overdo it either. Like sometimes I will have a sway back and I have to be very careful. So you want to think of your lower abs being engaged gently and the back, your lower back being lengthened and not crunched at all. And then your pelvis will be in a neutral position. So you don't want to overcorrect in either direction. And then you want to maintain that when you do a plie and your legs, you just try to have your knees go to the side and make sure they're going over your toes. And then when you go back up, you think of your knees coming back together and everything lengthening and keeping the spirals this way.
Isn't that cool? Sorry, I like it when he instructs. We're just about running out of time, you guys. Danny, can you just give them another advice on how to maintain all that while doing that alignment while we're moving in space?
Okay. Yes. So it's very much, let's say if you're going to go on one leg, because it takes, if you put your mind and you just think about it and you tell your body, okay, I'm going to work on doing this, I'm going to think about these things, your body will eventually learn how to do it. It will take a little bit of time, but don't stress out and be like, oh my God, I have to do all this position immediately. It's going to take some time and just feeling to feel comfortable. And then just the biggest thing is be careful not to grip, like don't tense up and try to do anything from a place of tension. You want to do it from a place of movement. And really relax when you can and make it as efficient as possible for tracking. But in terms of technique, keeping it while you're doing other dance movements or when you're moving faster, it's really just it will transfer into the harder things you do. If you focus on some of the basics, even simple pliés or simple tendus, it will show up in all of your other technique. And a lot of it is inspired or influenced by other dance styles of technique. It all overlaps, it all overcrosses. Ballet is not, even though in Western culture, it's very much this, oh, it's the most elite form of dance, it's the foundation of everything, it is not. If you are like a prima ballerina, you are not going to be able to do any type of street styles at all.
Unless they train it.
Unless they train in it. If you train in both, then you'll find, for me, I just took one audition with Professor Larry Southall at CU Boulder, and he was just teaching the basics of street style, like how your pelvis needs to be towards the ground. And then from that, I was like, oh, it's just like plie. That's what I'm not doing when I'm
I have to cut him off. We're out of time, you guys. Danny's going to have to come back, okay? So listen, we're going to freestyle out to Kapua's new song, In Motion. And then I hope to see you again next week, in 2 weeks. All right, here we go.
Where your heart at? Where your head at? We moving in tune, stay in motion.
Thanks for listening to Dance to Heal, Transformation Through Movement with me, Jenny C. Komen. Come back next time to hear more stories of recovery through movement and learn more ways that you can move your body to find healing on transformationtalkradio.com. To work with me and continue your journey, visit jennyccomen.com. Are you ready to move?
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.